The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. Before beginning our program, we would like to invite you to sign up for a free trial subscription to one of our publications at irei.com. Whether you are interested in real estate, infrastructure, or real assets in general, IREI has a publication to suit your needs. Select Publications on the main menu to choose a publication. Interested in more than one? Sign up for them all.
Welcome to Report from Asia. This is Mike Consul, your host, and my guest is Amélie Delaney. She is the Senior Director of Research and Professional Standards at ONREV, the Asian Association for Investors in Non-Listed Real Estate Vehicles. And Amélie joins us from her office in Singapore, where she is based. Amélie, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Mike. Very, very nice to be there again.
Yeah, so it's good to have you, and the timing is right. I see that your organization, in collaboration with INREV, your organization's counterpart in Europe, and PREA, have completed the 2023 Investment Intentions Survey, and it shows that despite the macroeconomic headwinds that we're seeing, such as inflation and rising interest rates, institutional investors plan to maintain their allocations for real estate globally, including in Asia. The Asia-Pacific region. Tell us about the survey results beyond that headline.
Sure, happy to. Well, this survey is well-known from our members and from the industry. And this year, I have to say, it was a bit challenging to conduct the survey at the end of 2022. And one of the, I will say, the major finding of the survey is that the uncertainty is actually pushing investors not to participate. Because when we asked them, you know, what's their intention for 2023? Well, our response rate was much lower than previously. And I will say this is one of the first finding of the survey. It was difficult for investors to say and to predict what's going to happen and are they going to deploy capital, if any. And so we have still actually a very good sample of participants. If we look at the AUM they represent, it's still very much in line with what it was last year. So it means that really large investors, they still very much know what they're going to do. They are the allocation to real estate is sort of stable. I mean, a few of our members obviously are impacted by the denominator effect. But it's not the same from every region, actually, which is very interesting as well. So we have new findings and old findings from this year's survey.
Well, you know, the piece you wrote for IREI Asia Pacific, the magazine, which has to do with this survey, you had mentioned in there that many forecasters are predicting declines in property values in 2023. Nobody wants to buy property and then see the value decline. But does that really, what's that situation? Because institutional investors don't buy property to flip it a year later, or perhaps they're sitting in wait with the idea in mind that the property values are going to go down and that's a great time to strike. What is the situation? Did you get any clarity on that from the survey?
So the survey is not really getting any clarity on that. But what we actually see is that really a lot of investors are in a wait and see attitude everywhere. So I think the decline in transaction is one of the proof that it's really happening. So everyone is really waiting for value to move. They're not moving everywhere. So it means like a lot of market have been very, very quiet from the beginning of this year, which really was reflected in terms of intentions to really deploy capital, but maybe to a lesser extent than previously.
Well, you know, you say one of the key themes going into 2023 is the increased importance of inflation and hedging, or rather inflation hedging as a reason for investing in real estate. Real estate has traditionally done very well during inflationary times. So is that, what about that as a factor? Because obviously various portfolios are looking to make themselves resistant to inflation. Real estate traditionally has been part of the formula for that. What do you hear from your members as to how keen they are to use real estate as a hedge now?
So definitely, inflation edge have risen in importance as one of the reasons to invest into real estate, according to the 2023 survey. And it's got to the highest point since like 10 years, basically. But that said, this is still not the primary reason for which investors are investing into real estate. The diversification benefit for multi-asset portfolio is always quoted as the main reason from all investors really globally. But really, as you mentioned, inflation edge definitely increased in importance, or maybe it's because inflation increased that investors just forgot about that, attribute from real estate investment as well.
What about ESG?
ESG is really now well established in investment decision in 2023. Since 2 years, we have added a few questions to the investment intention on what investors consider before investing into non-listed funds. And we found out that really promoting environmentally and socially responsible investments or targeting bespoke sustainable investment is a high priority for 94% of European investors and 75% of Asia-Pacific investors, less so from North American, I have to say. The other question about committed to become on becoming net zero carbon, is really also high from Asia-Pacific investors, 68%, still less than European investors, 91%, and North American investor not so as well. So I mean ESG, and I don't forget, about the S and D&I program is also something that is well established within investors all around the world. So really, this is increasing in importance, and I was hearing a lot of things about the fact that the ESG focus is not primary, not anymore prime, the first concern for investors during uncertain time. I'll say I'm not so sure about that, really. I think it still remain for the investors who put it really as a big concern on the top priority, definitely. And some studies have been, published recently showing that actually, the ESG characteristic of a fund will help his the fund to outperform as well.
What about destinations? Where is the cash going? What cities in Asia are institutional investors most interested in at this point?
So we always find the same destination as the most active and attractive investment market in the region. It's really never outside of Australia and Japan for most of the surveys finding over the years. This year, we have Sydney, Melbourne coming first, Tokyo coming third, and Seoul fourth. And what's very interesting this year is actually, to look at China Tier 1 cities. And I looked at the 7-year average of the survey, and China Tier 1 cities like Beijing, Shanghai, Guangzhou, they always figure at the fourth place on average or something like that. But this year, they are like very far away in the ranking. They are like at the 10th position. So I think that's one of the interesting findings. And we know, we heard from our members from North American and investors, so US and Canadian, that really China and also even from European investors is for some of them a no-go now.
So I miss that. Who is 10th? Who is the number 10 destination?
China Tier 1 cities.
Okay. I was going to ask you about that because China's, it's going through its reopening and it's trying to get back involved. At the same time, there's an awful lot of tension between the United States and China. I don't know how much that also between China and Japan. Let's face it, China's not the most popular kid on the block. There's tension. There's tension there. So in addition to that, there's an awful lot of debt that we keep hearing about, the debt in Chinese real estate. So can you tell us anything more about that? I mean, I've kind of touched on that, but I'm wondering if you have anything to add.
So definitely from the survey finding, geopolitical issues are at the top of the concern from North American investors. but also from European investors. They see geopolitical risks in the region. I mean, Asia-Pac investors are also quoting those risks, obviously, as more and more concerning regarding investment. And as you mentioned, the relationship between the US and China is obviously pushing some investors to stay out of China, but not only from the US, from Canada as well, from Europe as well. Talking with our members, we know that, you know, the investors who already have a big allocation to China, they will probably stay put in China and just maybe not deploy more capital. But we hear from our members also that the returns are pretty good still. So it's very difficult to think of a global listed allocation excluding one of the biggest economy in the world as well. So from investor point of view, I mean, it's also an attractive market in that way. Regarding the debt in the sector, I mean, this is really concerning residential developer. And I'm not specialized in that area, but I heard that, yeah, government have been trying to clean that a bit. But and then I looking at the latest results, I think it's the market, the residential market is slowly going back to being active in China. So let's see what's coming in this year and next.
So that is also a wait and see situation for a lot of people. We're not sure how things are going to break in China. And it's not just the Western Hemisphere, though. It's also its Asian neighbors that there's a lot of tension with Vietnam, with the Philippines, with Japan. And in a sense, and I don't want to overstate this, but in a sense, we see what Vladimir Putin's doing, expanding, saying this is our territory, really. It always was, and it always will be. So we're going to just take it. And there is a sense that China is just kind of saying South China Sea belongs to us. Where do you think the China name came from? And these islands, by the way, belong to us too, and kind of encroaching on its neighbors. So there's also that going on. And I don't know how that would play with real estate investing necessarily, but anytime there's unpredictability, investors just don't like that. So again, I don't want to overemphasize that it's a world away from what Vladimir Putin is doing right now. But at the same time, people are feeling like China has been a bit of a bully in the neighborhood. What about property types? What property types are most coveted right now in these top markets where the cash is flowing?
So that's a very good question, Mike, because what's interesting this year, Saleh, is to see that we had a shift in investor preference regarding sectors. They used to be very keen on office traditionally in the region. I mean, it's logic. It's the biggest, obviously, stock. It's the most liquid. But this year, and overtaking actually industrial, which was top last year, the residential sector is the most appealing for investors in the region. And that's very new. And that's really coming up from a couple of years when I think it's back in 2020 when the first time that we saw Tokyo residential in the top three sector combination. And now we have Sydney residential in top position, followed by Melbourne residential. And that's very new. It's the first time that actually investors are looking at residential markets in Australia. And I mean, recently, the governor has lowered the tax for investors in the sector in Australia. It's really, I mean, first, it's the country is definitely in need of housing, and this sector is something that will grow. What's interesting, I mean, if we look at the evolution of real estate investment, a couple of years ago, I mean, if you looked at the allocation of ODC funds in the US, the residential sector was small, but it grew to actually nearly, I think, 29% those days. We are only around 2.8% for our ODC funds, which are our Pan-Asia Corporate funds. And I really think it's going to grow. So the main market will be obviously Japan, Tokyo Residential, Australia. But I mean, Korea is also one market on the table, not yet appearing in the survey, but this is what we hear from investors as well, and China, obviously. In terms of, I should have said that before, build to rent, obviously.
Now, in the column you wrote, you summarized at the end by saying that a few different points, but one of them is that the macroeconomic headwinds that are affecting real estate markets, not just in Asia Pacific, but globally, is presenting opportunities. What do you see as the opportunities in Asia Pacific for real estate investors? Some of these may be pretty obvious. You may have already touched on them, but how would you summarize that?
Well, I think what's interesting this year is and it's, I mean, on some way it's also very sad to see what's happening in Europe, but we have really some sort of market disconnection. In the past years, I will say markets were really moving in the same direction. There was still like global markets, I say, but this year we have Asia-Pac, slightly different environment. You see, we have Japan with a still very much a low interest rate, good spread. So everyone is buying properties in Japan. Australia is suffering from high inflation, but you know, the economic prospect for the region, for the country are still pretty good. The fact that actually China is reopening is obviously, you know, lifting all the economy in the region, who are all very high, still highly dependent on China, including Japan, obviously. And yes, we see that markets are having some good prospects compared to, I will say, the US or Europe right now. So we still think that investors will be active in the region. I mean, it sounds that it's not going to happen in the first quarter or not even in the second quarter, but when you look at, you know, global investors, they're still very much underallocated to Asia Pac. So if they have a bit of capital to deploy, it's Asia Pac makes sense, I will say.
So Amélie Delaunay's column appears in the May edition of Institutional Real Estate Asia Pacific. You can read it there, get much more detail on it. Again, she's been my guest during this episode, and she's a senior director of research and professional standards at ONREV, the Asian Association for Investors in Unlisted Real Estate Vehicles. Amélie, as always, thank you for coming on the program. We always look forward to your input.
Mike, thanks so much. It was a pleasure to be here again.